Keep all the things that we have learned, O Father, in our hearts. And Lord, when we are tested and tempted, Lord, we can use those things that we have learned to reflect upon your precious word of life and upon your precious promises. The Lord, that we may not sin against thee. Guide us, O Lord, keep us now. Open our understanding to thy word now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, to the book of Revelation. Chapter 19, and we'll just finish the rest of this chapter, verse 11 to 21 for today. And we are dealing with the day of the Lord cometh, alright? We are dealing with the battle of Armageddon. So now I want to first of all just look at this chart. I want to just refresh a little bit with you. And also at the same time, I just want to let you know what happened during this period of this 17th week of Daniel. Now, I know this chart is a whole lot of detail, okay? People are asking for this chart, and because in fact, if you look at, if you study this chart, you know from the beginning to the end, you probably would have known the Bible already. Now, when we follow the book of Revelation, we are dealing only with what in the book of Revelation. Alright? But there are events that the book of Revelation does not cover. And that is why I want to deal with it. Like this area here. So I want to just touch on it a little bit today. Now you know and I know our timeline, where we are living in now. Okay? We are living at this period of time here. Okay? We are living in the seventh church age. Alright? And the message of God has been given to us according of the bride. And now the bride, wife of Christ, has made herself ready. We are waiting for the seventh thunder to utter their voices that will give us rapture in faith. Right? So once the church is raptured, then in Christ comes up and those that are alive, those who have prepared themselves as the bride of Christ, will be caught up together to meet Christ in the air. Alright? Okay. Now, while we are up there in heaven to be with the Lord for a period of 7 years, on this earth, the event of the 70th week of Daniel will take place. Alright? So, all this while, all these events are taking place on earth down here. We are up there with Christ. The first thing that when we are resurrected, we will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where you find the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. We will all have to stand before Christ. We will all will be judged according to our works, not according to our sins. Alright? We will be given rewards. Do you understand that? Okay? You understand what I'm saying? You all be given rewards, definitely. Alright, but do you tell me what is going to be? Are you going to get a box of, iPad, i5, i6 on you? You don't think about that thing. Because all those things are spiritual. Okay, we all have our rewards, and we'll be in position as to the body of Christ. Remember that, right? The city of, the holy city, New Jerusalem, remember, is in the shape of a pyramid. That give you an idea of the position that you will be, according to the work we have done. Alright, so we will be before the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian that appear there, every one member of the body of Christ, will get their reward. Then after that, we will go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You understand? Okay, that's why we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we have, oh, we will say this, it's the grand finale of the marriage. Okay? Alright? Then we will come back later on with Christ or you can call it the honeymoon. Some people like to use the word for the honeymoon. We come back to live with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay? So this is what happened during in heaven, during the period of the 7 years, while the last week of Daniel 70 weeks are in fulfillment. Okay, so far you understand that. Alright. So now we are going into this last part now. We are going into Armageddon. Take close attention to what you have seen on this chart. Sometimes you probably don't have a difference. Even though you've seen it many times, you probably don't remember. Okay? Now, we are dealing now with this area, the last few weeks, the seventh trumpet, the blown, in which the seven bowls, or vials, as the Bible used the translation to be bowls, will be poured out on this earth. The pouring out is at the end of the great tribulation, that when God will have to cut short. Okay, during this time of this pouring out of this vial, one after another, the whole world will experience a great catastrophe of what we call earthly event, where the earth will travail. There is signs in the heavens. There will be, you know, earthquakes and tidal waves and whatever. All right, because God is bringing all this judgment upon the nations of the world, even as He deals with the Jew. All right. Now we realize also that during this, when God poured out His wrath under the three vials, okay, you see that the Roman Catholic Church will be destroyed by the Ten Horn Nation. The beast that she rode will turn against her and destroy her. Alright? And then immediately after that, followed by vial number 6, and the king of the east marched into Jerusalem for the battle of Armageddon. You got it? Now we come to this seven bowls. Now if you notice these seven bowls here, it's Christ coming down. Okay? And yet it is also the sixth seal. Now, you remember, I told you this many, many times, that when you study the book of Revelation, they are all just series of vision. You need to know where the puzzle fit. You understand? Remember the seventh seal? The seven seals, a seal book that is in the hand of the one sit upon the throne, that you see in chapter 4 and onwards. Right? And the Lamb of God went up there and took the seal book, and He opened one seal at one time. Each time a seal is opened, something happened. Now, sixth seal is placed here, at this part here, because why? That is actually Christ coming back. And that's when the seven vials are poured out. All these events of the great earthquake cataclysmic event, that they see the sun, you know, turns to sackcloth and so on. Okay, and the star fall from heaven. A lot of cosmic event is happening. Alright, when the six seals comes into play. Okay? And so we are now dealing with this period of time where when after the wrath of God is poured out, then you find that He will bring in the day of the Lord. The first part, where in the first 30 days you have the war in the stage of World War III, you want to call that. Some may call it World War IV. Because if you look at, we have Second World War already, right? The Third World War, some will want to call it as the Battle of Ezekiel 38-39. And if that's so, then we will have to call this World War IV. Okay, and then after that, in the after the millennium is over, World War V. And there will be no more war after that. Okay, so now go to the book of Genesis, Revelation 19. And we'll begin with verse 11. Here is the glorious appearing of Christ, or Christ coming with His saints to the earth. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he do judge and make war. So now, if you remember the series of vision, alright, now the first 10 verses of chapter 19, where we have John having all these visions of the marriage supper. Okay, now the vision changed. As he looked into the sky, into the heaven, all of a sudden there is a drama played out. Okay? The sky seemed to be just black, and all of a sudden there's something in the sky that, you know, like a scroll being rolled back. Like you watch nowadays in a movie theater is different from the days when we were young. Or when you go for a stage show. You sit there and the whole theater is darkened, and then you see this curtain in front of you, right? And when it's about to start, the curtain will roll back. Isn't that so? Or sometimes they lift it up, but sometimes it just rolls to the side. And then you see the light in the center of the stage. And so this is what John, you know, saw in the vision. The whole sky is just rolled back like a screw. And then you find Christ. He saw this great army in heaven. And the Bible here said that, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Go to Revelation chapter 6, and we read that, verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and there, Lord, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts an untimely fig, and she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now this is exactly what John is now seeing again. Alright? Only presented in a different vision to him. Okay? So you just imagine, when John saw this vision, he said the sun is as black as sackcloth. As black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. Now, if you look at a vision, how are you going to see the sun and the moon at the same time? Because unless they are together in the same, what we call, during the same equinox, whatever, you know, scientists, astronomical term. Right? Now, so you will see the sun darker as sackcloth, and the moon is as blood. But the stars in heaven, now, if you don't have a sunlight, what happened to the stars? The stars will have no light too, right? So untimely fixed, so it means it's kind of dim and it looks like it's all falling off from the heaven. Now all these are visions that John saw, and I believe that during that time, the people on this planet Earth will be seeing all this phenomenon. Huh? Now you know what happened recently when there was a meteor that struck somewhere in Russia or someplace. Huh? And people were just wondering all that. But just imagine if this thing happens all over the world. No matter where you are, you will see it. Right? Now at the same time when this thing happened, there was an earthquake. Why there was an earthquake? Because if you look at the chart carefully, you remember the Bible said when Jesus came, what? Look at chart. Remember when Jesus came, what happened? His feet were land upon Mount Olivet. And what happened to that mountain? It was split into two. Do you understand? So, all these events now, of course, they're just putting in a few words, but there is a time span. Okay, all these events. It will take within the next 30 days after all this wrath of God upon us, all these things are going to happen. Do you understand? Alright, let's go on with that. Verse 14, and the heaven depart as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, chief captain, mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the den, and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sit on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now with all this phenomena that is happening, And the heaven rolls back like a scroll. I don't know how you're going to roll back, backward or forward, or how you're going to split up. I don't know. But the way that something is happening that scares people. Huh? Now, don't forget that prior to this event that is going to happen, that is happening right now that we are looking at, remember the Great Tribulation. This is a period of the 3.5 years where the world will suffer greatly under the hand of the Antichrist. You remember that, don't you? Huh? And so, when they see, when the people of the world, well, they all look at Babylon. Babylon's in control. But once Babylon was destroyed under the fifth vows, when the system of the beast destroyed the Catholic Church, when the Ten Horn Nation in Europe destroys the Catholic Church, then everybody now is in shock. With all these other phenomena coming, they realize that, you know, the one that they reject, people call him Jesus Christ. The Jew call him Yahshua. Now they realize, after all, why? The two prophets already preached prior to the 3.5 year Great Tribulation, stealing 144,000, and 144,000 went with the nation of Israel, wherever they go, right? And wherever they go, they also preach to the people. What? Fear God. Give glory to Him. And worship Him. Is that right? And they were given all this testament, this gospel, this everlasting gospel that they preached. The nation would have heard it by then. At the end of this, when they see all this phenomenon, they realize that God has come to judge them. You see. That's why they say, oh, whether you're a rich man or poor man, you wanted to die. Because now it's a terrifying period. It is known as the day of God's wrath, alright, coming upon this earth. Now, so when the sky darkened and everything, the whole heaven darkened and all this phenomenal cosmic display, and then there was a White House. I'm trying to imagine what John actually saw. Alright, and this White House comes down, and one sat upon it. And the Bible said it is named called Faithful and True. Faithful and True. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. This is also seen by Daniel thousands of years ago. Alright? Daniel chapter 2. And verse 34 to 35. Alright, this is the vision or the dream. Alright. That Belteshazzar had, and Daniel interpreted to him about this, you know, statue and this colossal that he dreamt. 32 onward. This image head was of fine gold, his breast, his arm of silver and belly, and his thighs of brass, his leg of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And that part of iron and part of clay, what is it? The feet, the five toes, I mean 10 toes. That is where you have 10 horn nation. Okay? Then in verse 34. Thou saw till that a stone was cut up without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, not upon the head, not upon the arm, not upon the chest or thigh, but upon his feet. Now the problem, the thing is that this vision about the Belteshazzar dream, the colossus is top heavy. You know me, but top heavy. The head is made of gold. Huh? The chest is silver. The loin area to the thigh is bronze. Okay? And then the bottom part is iron clay. So, just imagine, clay is not even a metal. So it's part metal, part clay. So the stone smites the feet and the whole colossal is just fall. Okay? So now he says, thou sawest a stone. This stone, well, the interesting thing is that the Bible used this eulogy, alright? Or allegory, you call it. Where a stone is always representing some person or a small kingdom, so to speak. Now remember, you are a stone. Okay? Jesus Christ was a stone. Right? He grew up into a big mountain. Okay? Or sometimes you can say a little rock. So this stone that was cut out with our hands, this kingdom was not on this earth. Okay? Christ was not merely a human being that somebody make him king. You understand? Or somebody make him Lord on this earth. He doesn't have a kingdom on this earth. That's what Jesus said to us on this part. My kingdom is not on this earth. So he was a stone that was cut out or not made with hands. Not chiseled out by hand of man or nations or some empire. Or that his father is a king and so on and so forth. He came not from this earth. He's from heaven above. Alright? The first man was earthly. The last Adam, the second man, was from heaven. Remember that. Spiritual. Okay? So even as we say that God make a body for Jesus Christ, right? The Bible said a temple made with our hands. Or the body fashioned up with our hands. Got it? Alright. Which spoke the image upon his feet, and there were iron and clay, and break them to pieces. That was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smoked the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That means this stone was Christ himself. When he smoked this image, when he comes, remember, when he comes, he will smoke this beast. Alright? And then he will set up his kingdom, which become a big mountain. That's what this prophetic word give you the picture. Do you understand? So what John saw, Daniel have seen it already in his days. Alright? Through the visions of Belshazzar, the interpretation that God gave them. Alright? Go back. So now, with this event, when Christ comes down, it ends completely the Great Tribulation. But there is still 30 days left, in which all this event must close up before Christ sits upon his throne of glory in Jerusalem and judge the nations. I want to show you all these places in the scripture where this great event are mentioned. Because this is one event that we find in many parts of the Bible. And give us the hope, give the saints of Christ the hope and what to look forward to. Right? Okay? Matthew 24 and verse 29 to 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Again, you see how is that? Correct? When you read over in Revelation chapter 6, now here you read again. Alright. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, when he's talking about the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, this is a play of word here also. Okay, in a sense. Is it the word powers of heaven? The Greek word give you the pictures of atomic power. Alright? Okay? So be shaken. And that means to say that definitely it's a war going on there. Remember that. How would the 10 horn beast destroy Babylon? How would that beast destroy the Catholic Church? Except by perhaps an atomic bomb to blow up the whole of that city, Vatican City, the seat of the beast. You know, okay, and then the domain will be filled with darkness. Alright, so when Christ comes now, remember before Christ now, what we are looking here is, it seems that the way we're looking at, Christ is coming, huh? Yes, Christ is coming. But don't forget, before he comes, there'll be war fought. We will go later into it. Alright, and he says, and there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now he says here, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Not the tribe of Israel alone, but the tribe of all the earth. Means every race. Now I just imagine like you are looking at night now. Some of you may have seen the movie 2012, where they build this so-called modern ark. But go back to the days when God really destroyed this earth with water. And there were millions of people on the earth at that time. Now when all of a sudden they see how come that the sky start to rumble. And then drizzles of raindrops start coming down. And then more drops keep coming down. Then what happened? Lightning strikes and thunders there, rolling and so on. And what do you think people feel? They have never seen this before in their life. They have heard what Noah preached, what Noah's warning was like. That God is going to destroy this earth with flooding and so forth, and they built a boat and they were laughing about it. Because remember one thing, they were on dry land. They were not building a boat near an ocean because there were no ocean. You understand? So, they have already the gospel preached to them by Noah. They won't believe it. So, now during this 300 years, the Great Tribulation, the 144,000 have gone throughout the world where they went with this woman Israel to feed them, and where they go, they will be preaching the everlasting gospel. Fear God, give glory to Him, and worship Him. Right? And people probably laugh about it. Because why? The world was under control by Mystery Babylon. Under Babylon. So they are laughing about it, they won't think much about it. Because the warning was given to them that God is going to judge the world. So you just have to fear God, give glory to Him, glory to Him, and worship Him. No, they rather worship the beast. They rather bow to the image. Right? They will bow to the Antichrist. But all of a sudden, after this thing was over, the beast destroyed the woman, and then all of a sudden this thing happened. In the heavens, things are happening. The earth is shaking. No. That people are going to be afraid. They want to die. You understand? Okay? Now, I don't know how you picture this thing. Let's just imagine that you know that this Singapore is going to big tsunami coming. That is 100 story high. Not the one that you see about in Fukushima. But this one is 100 story high. What is the highest apartment flat in Singapore? 60 something, right? This is 100, this type of way is 100. Of course you say that's possible, that's too big. But let's assume it is that high. High enough to get Timah Hill. What are you going to feel? How you feel? You think you have time to run across the causeway? You'll be shaking in your home. Probably you're trying to say, what am I going to do? Just imagine, the fear. Because they are facing this wrath now. Facing death. So they have to choose a way to die. They will say, okay, mountain, rocks, fall on Mars. And die. I remember a time when I had a dream. You know, I don't know how to swim, If I throw me in the water, I'll drown. Because I don't know how to drink water, I don't know how to survive. Okay, so what? I did dream. That was on a cruise, on a boat. And then this boat was hijacked. So all these terrorists came out to the boat, under the ship, and then they just threw everybody down overboard. Just threw them down. You know, so when they came to me, I said, please don't throw me down first. Hit me with the butt of your gun, or rifle. Hit me on the head. Because if I know I go down, I'll be drowning, right? So hit me hard on the head and throw me down. The guy on the branch, he hit me hard on the head. with the butt. When he hit me in the dream, I saw light in the dream. And I began to spin to like a, you know, like a tunnel going through this bright light. You know, it kept on going. It's very interesting. Even when in the dream when I was hit with the butt, it hurts real bad. You know, you feel it, that pain, you know. And then I kept on going through this bright light, tunnel, white light. And then after that, I woke up. And I feel like there's a sore on my head too. It's kind of strange. Okay. So, you know, you have a choice to choose how you want to die. You know what I mean? So, they said, mountain fall upon us, rock fall upon us. Quickly, don't, you know, don't make me suffer, that sort of thing. So, if death comes upon you, you want it to be fast. Not slow, obviously. So, I just look at this and I see there will be a lot of people that just, they'll be just shouting and crying and be fearful of death. Alright, go to Revelation chapter 16 now. Okay, chapter 16, verse 17 to 21. Now, and the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. So now this is the seven bowls under the seven trumpet. So the seven trumpet ends everything, the seven bowl ends everything, seven seals and everything, actually. Okay? And there came a great voice out of the throne of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake. Again, you see the description here? A great earthquake. Same thing. That's why this great day of the Lord is mentioned in many parts of scriptures of your Bible. So you need to know how important this must be to God. Because He's going to send Jesus Christ back, and Christ is going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. Alright? And there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the city was divided into three parts. And the city of the nation fell. And great Babylon came to remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and mountain were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So all this description just covers almost everything. A little part here, a little thing, another part here. So when you talk about the star from the heaven, well, that could have been another part of the description here is part of the hail that comes down. Okay. 16 talent. 12 pounds. 16 pounds, as big as that. So that's a lot of phenomena happening, coming. And you know what? We want to escape this, obviously. Revelation chapter 1. I want you to look into this Revelation chapter 1. And verse 7. Here, in the first chapter of Revelation, interesting as it is, right? What we're reading here, we see it right in this Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now this coming with clouds is not the rapture. We know that Christ is coming because we shall meet him in the air, right? Okay? But not every eye will see him. But this one, when he comes, the Bible said, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So now, I want you to think about this. Don't just read it. I just want to look into a little detail on it. The Bible says, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. They also that pierce him, and all the kindreds of the earth. It means the Jew will see him, the Gentile will see him when he comes. So now what does it mean? Now if you, the earth is round, right? Is not the earth round? The earth is round. So if Christ come over to Israel, how come the other side could see him? Not possible, right? Am I not right? So this coming of the Lord, when he comes, he's not going to come straight away just like he's coming down you know, with this, all this phenomenon that's happening. And the earth is turning at 100 miles per hour. 100 miles per hour. 1,000 miles per hour. 1,000 miles is how many kilo? 1,600 kilometers per hour. And when the Christ coming down to earth, he takes his own time. He's not in a hurry. He wants to let the whole world see him. So when the earth turns, everybody going to see him. Do you think so? One body call attention, everybody look. Next morning, as the earth turns, the other part will be seen. Yes. Every eye will have to see him to know who he really is. The one that is faithful and true to the word of God. Oh, you know, it'll be interesting, you know. You know one thing, you will not be here to watch him. I will not be here to watch him. Because we will be with him. Riding in White Horses too. Okay? So I want you to just soak in all this thing that it can make a great movie out of it. And this is not going to be science fiction. Right? Is it so? Right. Okay. Let's go. Now, when Christ comes, of course, everybody wants to die, but the Bible will tell us that even though a lot of people are sick, they will not die so quickly. Okay. But let us go on. And look at this character here in chapter 19, verse 11. The Bible said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he do judge and make war. Remember that when the first seal was opened, the Bible said a white horse went forth. Right? And the voice says, come and see. Come see. Or ready to say is, go. Now, that white horse rider in the first seal and this rider on this white horse are two different characters. Right? You know that, huh? The first rider on white horse, he had a bow, but no helmet. Right? So he's a bluffer. He bluff. He got a bow, but no arrow to shoot. I'm coming to conquer, you know. But this one is called faithful and true. But what we see right here is faithful and true. In that white horse, we know later on, as that horse ride, it changed the character, changing horses. Until what happened? Death followed him. Right? His name is Death, rather. But hell followed him. Now, when we say the Bible says about death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. The writer's name is called Death and Hell followed. Obviously, when you die, you must be buried. Huh? Hell means what? Hell means the grave. Hell not means the fire. The lake of fire is the lake of fire. Hell is hell. But everybody says, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell means that they are saying that you go to the lake of fire. That's just a wrong word used in the churches or by people anyway. Hell, Hades. Alright? It actually means, or kabah. It means the place where you're buried. You understand? So when you die, when there is death, there must be hell. Because you have to put that body in the earth. Got it? Alright? And that's what Jesus is going to do one day when after the end of everything, great white throne judgment, death and hell will be cast in the lake of fire and be burned up. Death and hell will be no more. There will be no more death, there will be no more grave, nothing. Do you understand? Alright? So the white horse rider in the first seal ends up in death and hell. But this rider is faithful and truth. Alright, so let us look at verse 12. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. That's one of the interesting. He has a flame, a blazing flame of fire. I don't know. This is a vision. Remember, this is a vision that John saw. So a vision is not real. Huh? It's just something that tells you about what whole thing represents, what's going to be. You understand? Of course, Jesus coming doesn't mean with the eyes that shoots fire. You understand? Okay? What we'll do, huh? So he tells only the description that he has a piercing eye. When he looks to you, he can see all that you are. All right, all omniscient eye. He understands everything. Okay, that's why he comes to judge and ritual. And he said, "You have many crowns." And he said, "Well, many crowns." So John saw him running on that horse, sitting on the white horse, and has as many crowns. I don't know how many. How many crowns do you think that is? Now the Pope has triple crown. Okay? The Pope has three, yeah? Stacked on top of each other. Three. Just one big crown is three layers. How many crowns does Jesus have? How many nations are there in the world today? 1 or 200. Right. What about the tribes? You know, in Africa you may have Uganda, for example. But they are all tribes. They are all tribal kings and all the chiefs or whatever they would have. So crowns are many crowns. So John, I don't know, see how many crowns nobody said. But that is just only a vision to show that he is the King of Kings. Do you get it? Alright. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So there was a name written, but how did John know that he had a name written on his... Where? What was it written? And he had a name written no man knew. Of course it must be on his head, the name must be written on his head. So John saw the name written, but he don't know what it is. He see a name, but he doesn't know what it is. Because no man know. If I see you have a name on your head, if I see it, means I know what you've written there, right? Even though I don't have to read it, I can see what character is being written. See? Right? But you see, John sees, but yet he doesn't know what it is. He said he has a name written on his head. But he doesn't know only the one who has the name, that's the one who sits on that white horse. Only, we know who that is, right? Jesus Christ. And he will be the only one who knows his own name. And that's why one of the, we all will be given a new name. Every one of us will have a new name. Huh? In the future, you don't call me Richard Gunn. I'm no longer Richard Gunn. I will have a new name. And that name will be given to me and I will know. And every one of you will have a new name. Okay. And we want to think about this new name. Now, what we know that 144,000, when they heard the two prophets preach, the Bible said they have the name of in their forehead. Okay. What do you think that name? That name, when you said that name written in your forehead, it is actually the revelation of who the Messiah is. Now, do you know that there is a name written on my forehead? I said that there is a revelation inside here. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Like the Bible said, when Antichrist comes into power, everyone will have a mark upon their forehead or upon their forearm. Right? Yes, sir. Now, I don't believe necessarily that you has to be a literal mark stamp on your forehead. Or people say, it might be a chip in your forearm. Right? Well, it might be. But I don't believe it is that way. But the Bible talks about the spiritual thing that if you bow down to the image in which when you they say that you believe, for example, the Holy Trinity doctrine. Do you know that by believing the Holy Trinity doctrine, you are associated with the Catholic Church? That's a fact. You know. And what the Pope tells you to do, like the Catholic, they do what the Catholic Church teaches. They really have the mark in their forehead because they are believing in it. They are holding it in it here. And they ask you to do this, so you are doing it with your arm. And we say the arm is to serve, to do. Practicing it, believing in it. Not just in the head, but to do it. Not just the hearer of the word, but the doers of the word, that's just to say. Huh? So, Jesus had a name written in his head. That means that God has given him a new name. Only he himself knows. And that's why I have a new name. Because you know when we are born again, what was given to us? What name was given to us? You all should know what name was given to you. You put on the name of Christ. And so when you put on the name of Christ, you are no longer your own. Because you are purchased with a price. You are a prisoner of the Lord. So this name issue is important. Huh? So what I want to say now, later we see that the holy city, New Jerusalem, has a name. Okay, the name of my God and so on and so forth. So, there must be one common name that the whole body of Christ have. Because the holy city, New Jerusalem, has a name. And we are all part and parcel of that holy city, New Jerusalem. Now, he also said that the family of God is known by only one name, right? And that is Yah, Suah, or Yahweh, Yah. So we are all known by one name. The Church of Christ, there's only one name, huh? That's it. The Holy City must have only one name. You understand that? Alright. Just want you to make you think on this. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now it's interesting now. We know that when we look at this vision, there's a white horse, someone will sit on it. We always say, oh, that's Jesus Christ. Okay. Right? Of course, just like in the Old Testament, when God came down in the form of a man, right? And fought with Jacob. Right? Wrestled with Jacob. Or appeared before Abraham, before Moses, Gideon. Who do they see? There's only one face, right? Remember I always said there's only one face. And their face is the face of Christ, Jesus. Obviously. Only that his dress, when he appeared to each time, the different one, he dressed differently to denote his ministry. When he put on the robe of a high priest and appeared to Abraham, he is appearing as high priest. Right. When he appeared to Gideon, he definitely appeared as a warrior because he wanted to say, who are you? Huh? Who do you stand for? You know. So he must be dressed in a way like a warrior. You know. So these are all the different ministry of Jesus Christ. The way he will reveal himself to different ones. You know. I think many of you have read testimony about, you know, of some great saints of old, you know. How did Christ appear to them? For example, if you were a rich person, and Christ appeared to you, maybe he appeared like a beggar and asking for alms and see whether you would give it to him. You understand? So in relationship between that man and this beggar, there must be a relationship of what? Of charity. Of looking for or caring for the orphan or caring for the poor or those who are in need and so forth. Alright? So, here the Bible says he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood. Deep in blood, whose blood is that? Now here is where you have a picture now. He has a vesture, he has a cloth. Now that is a white cloth. But it was stained with blood. Now, some people might say, that was his blood then. You know, he was stained with his own blood because he gave himself as a sacrifice. Okay. But don't forget that this one that you are looking at now is Christ coming into battle. Alright? And therefore he is not dipping in his own blood. He came in to do battle, and that's when all those slain whom he will slay, the blood will splash onto him. Because when we look into the Bible very carefully, we will find that he come to tread on the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He's come now to fight. And when you fight in battles where there are thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of soldiers, you know, you start to slaughter. Now, I think that some of you, with this Hollywood produce all these movies, Roman movie, Greek movie, ancient kind of a mythology things. You see, they slash and slash, and you see the blood over their body, that sort of thing. Huh? Not like what we have in modern day, you should use rifles, you blow up people far away, but in those days they used swords and spears. So when you cut, fight, blood will splash onto you. So this is what the picture is given. And the Bible here says, his name is called the Word of God. Now he came, now he comes to fight, but he fight with the Word of God. The truth. And so, the Bible now is telling us that this person sitting on the White House, don't think of him as Jesus. Think of him as the Word of God, the personification, huh? As God's Word coming to judge. Alright. Okay, now, we know, of course, the Bible used this word, the Word of God, give us to understand in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So that's why he gave us the image that it was Jesus Christ. It has to be a figure of a man, and we know who it is. But always think of the Word as the life, not just in the person Jesus Christ. Okay? It is in him, Jesus Christ, that we have the revelation. Alright. Go to Isaiah 63, verse 1 to 6. And here we will see a little clearer regarding this vesture dipped in blood. Isaiah 63. You know that Isaiah has 66 books, huh? You know that, don't you? Right. And chapter and each of these books actually reflect, each chapter reflect a book in the Bible, it seems, to many people. 63, and verse 1 to 6. Now here is a prophetic utterance by Isaiah. It's not about any particular person. Right in that time, but more so of a projection of what we are going to see right in this book of Revelation. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garment from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel? And the garments like him that treated in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I would treat them in my anger, and trouble them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. So this is the same, this is also another part of the prophecy that talks about this great coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, so this vesture dipped in blood is not in his blood. He come to tread on the wine press. Now, you know what a wine press is? You know when people, in those days, people drink, you know how they make wine. They took all these baskets of grapes and throw into a big, what do you call that? Trout, huh? Right? And then with the dirty feet, they just jump in onto it and just trample on it. And so when they trample on it, you break up those clusters of grapes. So what happened to it? It first spread out. Now if you trample on this purplish grape, red one doesn't look very red actually. Purple one is the one that looks more. So they trample and then you scoot it out, all the whole body will be filled with this thing. So that's what Jesus says, I'm come to tread on the white plants. That means that he will be in the midst of many people that will die. Because he's going to trample them. You understand? He's going to fight them. Alright? Okay? That is what Bible here said. Vengeance is in my heart. Now Christ is coming because they rejected the word of the Lord come now to judge them. Do you understand? Now do you think God is fair? I mean, God is God. He do whatever He wants to. But when He gives you grace, He gives you a chance, so to speak. He gives you the gospel to let you know you are a sinner. But some people don't believe in that. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in any religion. You know, I might just appear and I'll die. And remember one thing also, that it is true that religion is an opium. Like an opium is an opium. Some people are so much into religion that it holds them in bondage. You understand that? You agree with me now? Are you in a religion? No. Huh? I'm not in a religion. Do you understand? I'm in a faith. And I'm in reality. I'm not bound with this religion. Yes. I have the freedom. Religion will hold you. Because religion is actually that, you see the world today, is all man-made to blind you. Right? Look at what happened to City Harvest. They want to build a church. They raise fund. They get people to go out there and raise fund and they raise millions of dollars. And the people are, oh, because they are rich, they give. Because it's really just to give. They feel that by giving, they get blessed. Now remember one thing, don't give to God just because you think, Lord, I give it to you, right? You must bless me, huh? Now that's not God's deal with you. You understand? You see, giving because you give, you want to see other people blessed. Not because I bless others, therefore you must bless me. That's not the deal. You know, we're not in the religion, we are in the faith that is where we live. We're not controlled by any law. We are controlled by the life of the Spirit of God. You know, to live the life that we should live for God. Do you see the difference? Okay, so now, that's why Christ must come to, you know, sometimes we say, it's payback time. So to speak. You reject the word, and God says, I reject you. He told Israel, you have rejected my word, so I will reject you. God give you salvation, the gospel. You reject the gospel, you don't have salvation. It's as simple as that. If you don't believe, then unfortunately, you don't believe. But nobody forces you to believe. There's a choice you make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As Gideon said. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And do you know His loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up above the plain where he has trodden? Right? And do you know? Or else, if you don't know, you will never, never know who Christ is. Isn't it true? That is very true. Okay? Believing is seeing, and not seeing is believing. Alright. Verse 14. And the army which were in heaven falling upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies which were in heaven. Armies which were in heaven. I was going to say, oh, the armies which were in heaven means the eye and the angel. Well, we know the angels are God's army too. But these are clad in fine linen, clean and white. The angels don't have that spiritual body. These are the ones that have spiritual body. Fine linen, clean and white testify of the righteousness of the saints. Remember? Okay. Revelation, and we look at chapter 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white.
For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The angels, they are not clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Revelation 19, verse 8. Do you understand? Got it? Yes. The all angels, all they are clothed with white robes. Of course, they all have the spirit body. Do you understand? Remember, there's different between, there are three kinds of body, the physical. And then you have the spirit body and the spiritual body. You're not a spiritual body, right? Spiritual body is only when you are changed. If you're not changed, then you don't have a spiritual body. Christ's body now is a spiritual body. You understand? You have your theophany or the celestial body or the word body or the spirit body, we call that. Until you put on that word body, this body put on your word body, if you don't have that, then your body is not changed into a spiritual body. Do you get it? Okay? That's why only the angel has spirit body. Their body is not physical. Okay? This body is physical. But when the word body that Paul talks about, that God prepared for us, until this body comes into that, merged together, this body lives in that body, or that body in this body, as we always say, I in you and you in me. So I in that word body and the word body in this body will fuse together to create a spiritual body. That's why a spiritual body can have one that goes through a wall, and at the same time you can eat. You understand? You see. Now if you ask an angel, a spirit angel who has not changed, who has not been given a physical body, if he stand before you right now, ask him to hold a glass, he can't. Because he's a spirit. He cannot hold the glass until he puts on a meteorized into a physical body. You see. Okay? So that's not what this army that come follow him upon what horses are the saints. After they have already have the marriage supper of the Lamb, now they are coming down to fight with Christ. All sitting on white horses. Now, I want to say this, that this is a vision of John. So people think, it must be a lot of horses coming down. Real horses coming down from heaven. Now, are those horses physical? The king is interested. Are those horses physical? Or is it the imagery that John sees? That's the thing about it. Right now. Correct? Yes. Now you know what? One thing about the Word of God, it's a lot of allegory, a lot of, symbolic thing. Now this Bible, we call it the Word of God. What else do we call it? We call it the sword. Yeah? The two double-edged sword, right? You can call it your shield. Yes, sir. Yes. What else? Do you know that you can call this the horse? Do you know that you can call this the horse? My white horse. I'm sitting on my white horse. This is the white horse that carry me. You can. It's all symbols. Got it? When the angels come and catch Elijah away, the Bible said what? What did he say? He said the chariot of fire. Because they come so fast with the wind that wolves in the myriad, it looks like, they are carried away like a chariot. So you can call them, anybody can call the Bible your chariot. Whatever you want to call it. It's just only symbolic. So when this vision that John saw, wow, if you want to believe that there's a sin is going to come home riding white horses, everyone having white horses, it's okay. But we know the vision that John saw is going to happen when the saints is going to come and fight. That's for sure.
You understand?
Right.
Okay. There are many verses in Scripture. You can go, if you look at Zechariah chapter 12 onwards, you can see it also in Matthew chapter 24. All these are description. But there is one prophecy that doesn't tell much. And that is Enoch's prophecy in Jude. Jude chapter 1. Alright, the book before Revelation. And you see verse 14 to 15. And Enoch also the servant from Adam prophesied of this saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinner has spoken against him. You see that? Huh? The Bible said, Enoch prophesied of this thing, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his sins. That's all that Enoch prophesied in his days. Nothing about white horses, nothing about any other thing. Right? So, each vision is only what's shown to a person. How did God want to relate or to depict certain important things to the one who was given the vision. So definitely these are not angels. We all know. Okay, there are saints that are coming. Alright, go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 17. These great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the four beasts, which are diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devour, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, among the speak the great things which Luke was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came. Now, the Bible here uses the word Ancients of Days. Until the Ancients of Days came. That's what the Bible used, the word. The one who sits on the white horse. It is called the Word of God. Do you understand? So, we want to use the word Jesus. We know it has to be the face of Jesus, right? Because the Word was manifest in Christ. But it's all about the Ancient of Days. It's about the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was begun, and the Word was God. That's why the Bible said the Word was God, the Word was not Jesus. But this Word was manifest in Jesus. So the one who sits on the white horse is Jesus. But the one that is in him is called the Word of God. So you need to understand how God is repeating and showing this. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints on the Most High. And the time came, and that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the four beasts shall be the four kingdoms upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after him, after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the sin of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand, until times and a dividing of time, there is 3.5 years, and the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. Okay, so again that we see here in Daniel. All about this end time again. About this event that is coming. The great day of the Lord. Alright, so there are many other places, but wow, let's look at 2 Timothy, quickly now. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:12. Hear what Paul wrote. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us.
And that's what the Word of God comes to do. All right, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Hear the promise of God. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's what the sin comes to do. Okay, verse 15. And out of his mouth, let's go back to Revelation 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he turneth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. You see about this winepress, he's going to trip. No, my place is the trap, you know, where he steps in it. And the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, that is interesting. He has a vesture and on his thigh. Now, you might think that there is a name written on his thigh. That is what, if you read the Bible, it looks like it. Right, now don't forget, that's not what he means. In those days when soldiers have a sword, they always gird it by the side. Of the time. You understand? So that is, and in those days as well, the vesture, general, whatever, they have their own special made armor, or they call vesture, whatever, they put it on. They actually have an insignia, a mark, and many of them, they have their own. A Roman, they have this ring that they have, right? They have this seal, they put a seal on. So like the British, they have coat of armor, right? And sometimes even their guns and everything, they have their own mark that belongs to them. Okay? So that is what it is. And this bastard, this person on white horse, has some mark on him. And that mark that was on him was on the thigh. What was there on the thigh? It's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is, remember Jacob when he wrestled with the angel, what happened? The angel hold his thighs until he followed his until he couldn't move. That's a strength. That's the same one thing is your thigh support. And in those days, the sword is always put on the side. So, this gives us an image that what was written there on the vessel of Christ is his mark that tells us that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not in the word that is written there. Right? Just like it's the mark that the people receive on the forehead, because 666 is not just a 666. But just a mark that will tell you who he is. Okay? Alright. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, you remember that there were four winds that hold back. Okay? Now, we are coming down to this in the next, trying to finish off this. Verse 40 says, and I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his hand a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him and said, that said on the cloud, trust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that said on the cloud, trust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which has power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, trust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. Now, great wine press here is the valley of Megiddo. Alright? And the wine press was trodden down without the city, and the blood came out of the wine press,
even unto the horse bridle by the space of 1,600 furlong, 1,200 miles long. Okay, let us look into the picture here. I want to show you. All right, this Venus picture here, quickly. This is a satellite view of Israel. All right. What sea is this? The Dead Sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. All right. Haifa is here. All right. Now, the Sea of Galilee. This is where the Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo, is. But here, these are the hills. All right. It runs down. Megiddo runs down over here. Now, the war will be fought from here all the way down. This is the valley. So this area become like it becomes like what we call a trough, a wine press. It's called a wine press. And I hope you understand what a wine press is. You know what a wine press is? It's a big trough where all the clusters of grapes are, where they stem on. So this is where Christ is going to come down and fight, and he's going to trample on this wine press. And here it is said that it's already ripe. The grapes are already ripe. So time has come for him to come and fight. So you see this in chapter 14. And this is what we are looking at. Okay, look at other pictures. Now this I showed you before. The valley of Megiddo. It is very flat. Alright, except for some hillocks. And this is where the battle will be fought. 1,200 miles long. That's how long it is. Okay, thanks. Okay, this is Megiddo, the valley. This is the river. It comes down. This is where it will be fought all the way right down. Next. This is another view. Give you an understanding. Consider the hillside. Alright? So it will be fought all along here. Kind of big place to fight a war. Alright. So, when the Ten Horn destroys the woman to Babylon, then they wanted to march into Israel and take over Jerusalem. And that also gives a chance for the king of the East, who have been watching everything that is being done in Europe. They also want a piece of the pie to take in Jerusalem. So they will move also towards Jerusalem. And so that will start the Battle of Armageddon. Alright, all they want is the supremacy of holding the land of Israel. And you want to know what's so important about Israel? Because Israel has a lot of wealth in that land. A lot of minerals. In fact, they discover oil. And the Dead Sea has a lot of minerals that's worth millions of dollars. Alright. Okay, and we look at Zechariah chapter 12 verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And 17 of Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. What the Ten Horn will be the mighty force at that time. After destroying Babylon or Vatican City, they will become the strong power in the world, in that part of the region. That's when China, the King of the East, perhaps Pakistan, India, they also wanted to move in. Alright? And the Bible says in Revelation 17 verse 14, he shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. These shall make war with the Lamb, and that is the Ten Horn nation. Okay? And verse Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4. Zechariah 14 verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall clap in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. Then shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountains shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
And that's when Christ comes to fight. And verse 12, going up to verse, go down to verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. So when Christ comes to fight, how does he fight? He doesn't have to use sword, or spear, or arrows. He used the word and speak. And the people will die where they stand. Alright? Simple as that, huh? That's using spoken word. And then verse 13. On that day, men will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another, and they will attack each other. And that's very true. Zechariah 14:13. When there is confusion, people will fight your own and kill your own. Alright, verse 17 and 18 and 19, quickly now in Revelation chapter 19. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowl that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great day, that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and born, and both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sits on the horse and against his army. So, God had invited all this fowl of the air to come and feast on the dead body. Because Christ, when he come and he start to fight against them, all he do is spoken word. Remember, out from his mouth go forth, sharp two-edged sword. All you do is to speak the word, man will die where he stands. And all the birds of the air will come and have a good feast. Because the body are all lying up there, thousands of miles, and as far as high as to the horse's bridle. That's very high. It's about 5 feet or 6 feet high. Just imagine all the bodies that are piled up there. Huh? And then, you know, the battlefield is about 200 miles long. 1,200 for long, sorry. I will say this wrong. That's 200 miles long from north to south. So just imagine all those mighty men died and would have a good time. Last verse. Last two verses. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. This bowl will cast alive into a lake of fire. Now the beast was taken. And the false prophet. Remember who the beast is? Who the beast is? He's referring to the first beast. Who is the false prophet? Refers to the second beast. Because America is the second beast. Alright? They prophesy. The false prophets, and they make them false prophets. Because that's American Protestantism. They have brought the people, or their people, back to Rome and join hands with Mother Harlot. Okay? And the Bible said the beast was taken and became the false prophet. This are not literally the whole of the system. It's talking about the spirit. The spirit, the satanic spirit that works in this Disney system. As well as the same satanic spirit that worked in the second beast in America. You understand? Because these are all anti-spirit, anti-Christ. Okay? And so they were taken and cast them into the lake fire burning with brimstones. Verse 21. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which would proceed out of his mouth. And all the fowl were filled with their flesh. Now once the beast is taken, when the spirit of the beast is taken, and the spirit of the false prophet is taken and cast into the lake of fire. Now the lake of fire is prepared for who? The angels. Okay? It's preparing for the fallen angel to be there. Now once they're cast into that, they'll never exist again. That's why in the future, when Christ comes to rule, there'll be no antichrist spirit that will be at work. Do you understand? Even at the end of the 1,000 years of Christ's rule, when Satan is let loose, he's going to tempt them.
to tell the people to fight against Christ that you want to have all freedom. But the Antichrist spirit will no longer work. Once it's caused in the lake of fire, burnt, they are there, burn up forever. Okay? And there were no chamber men anymore. I hope that gives you a little understanding so far about this battle that is going to come. And be prepared, not for it, but be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to get out of this world, you want to be with Him, and to be ruling with Him also. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your goodness, O Lord. The word, Lord, that we understand from you, oh, let us reflect upon it, Father, and what is coming before us, O Lord, ahead of us. And we are seeing this picture, O Lord, of your word coming to the horizon. But most of our Father, as we see prophecy unfold, even at this time now, nations are raging, and the earth is shaking, prevailing. Oh, we are looking for the coming of the Son of God, Father. For our Savior and our Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, that we watch our walk with you. And we know that, Lord, you are mindful of us, Father, and care for us. Always be with us, Lord, and guide us into all truth, and show us what is to come. We thank you, Father, for your grace. Even as what the psalmist said in this moment of time, Father, as we look into this age that we're living in, the hidden rage, the nation will move. He uttered his voice, the earth melt. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Salah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burned the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Blessed be thy holy name. And so it shall be, Father. You will have to bring the world to its knees. And war will be no more. But while we are here, Father, oh, we hearken to your voice to be still and know that thou art God. And that truly you will be exalted among the heathens of the world in the day that when you set feet upon this earth in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that you have shown us. We want to glorify thy name and bless thy holy name. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.